Monsignor Rogers, my dear brother priests, brother deacons, fellow religious, beloved seminarians who are serving Mass for us today, and dear faithful people of God. People are sometimes surprised when I preach from the chair, but the directions that the church gives a bishop is to frequently preach from the chair because the chair is a symbol of the bishop's teaching responsibility in the church. So I imagine on all the big feast days of the church, I'll be sitting here when I talk to you. It's not because I'm ill or anything, or because I'm tired, although I am tired today because of midnight Mass. It's just a symbol of the bishop's teaching office. I'd like to begin by welcoming you to the cathedral for the celebration of Christmas, especially those of you who are regular members of the parish. This is a lovely, lovely church with a wonderful congregation. And I wish you, along with the priests who serve you, a very, very Merry Christmas. But there's other people who are here with us today that I'd like to welcome as well. And beginning with the smallest group, probably, which would be visitors who are not Christians. Christmas is a special time even for people who don't believe. And sometimes people of other religious traditions come to our cathedral for Mass on these high holy days. Our brothers and sisters from the Jewish community, Muslims, others, you know, Hindus. And if any of you are in that category, I welcome you to our celebration. We believe that Jesus is our Lord and the Lord of the world. And we hope that our celebration will somehow teach you about Him and our love for Him. A second group that I'd like to welcome are people who would be described by the broader community as secular non-believers. There are a lot of those in the world today, a growing number of people who even sometimes see religion as dangerous because it's a clear commitment to something that might oppose something else. And if any of you are in that category of secular non-believers, we welcome you too. We believe that Jesus is Lord and God, and because of that, we hope that our example and the celebration of the liturgy will somehow share with you the joy of our faith in Jesus Christ. I'd also like to welcome our separated brethren, the Protestant community. Some of you may be married to Protestants who are with you today. Other members of the Protestant community sometimes come to Mass. We refer to the Protestants in the Catholic tradition as separated brothers and sisters because we don't fully yet share the faith of the Church. And Jesus prayed for our unity. So as we gather to celebrate Christmas, our prayer is that the church, the Christian community, will come to be one as God desires us to be one. And finally, the group that I would like to greet most especially are non-practicing Catholics. All of us are non-practicing Catholics in some sense because we're not faithful to the gospel in the way we live our lives. But there's a growing number of Catholics who don't go to church on Sunday except on the high holy days. And if you're in that category, we want to especially welcome you and also let you know that our community is weaker because you're not a regular part of the community any more than you are. So if you're in that group of non-practicing Catholics, I hope our celebration will lead you to embrace the faith in a more regular and faithful way, so that together we might be a clear witness to the world around us of the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I also want to thank on your behalf and mine those who have prepared our liturgy. Monsignor Arthur Rogers is the pastor of the Cathedral Parish. Monsignor, we're deeply grateful to you and the members of the parish for all that you do to prepare such a beautiful environment. Father Dennis Gill is the director of the Office of Worship. Father Dennis, we're grateful to you because you put a lot of time into our celebrations. And in a very special way, we want to thank our choir led by Dr. John Romeri, who have provided wonderful celebration for us. Now, St. Augustine said, those who sing pray twice. And we believe that those who help us to sing help us to pray more deeply. So we're very grateful to the choir, and I invite you to join me in expressing our gratitude to them. They were here at midnight, they were here earlier yesterday, and they're here today. Now, the readings for today's Mass are from what is called the Mass of Christmas Day. And some of you who haven't come to this 10 o'clock Mass may be disappointed in the readings because none of them are a presentation to us of the story of the birth of Jesus. And the reason for this is that the Church expects that all of us would have gone to the other two Masses of Christmas. The one at Christmas where Jesus, where we heard the story from the Gospel of St. Luke, where Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary and laid in a manger in the stable. The Mass from early Christmas morning is the story of the shepherds who heard the angels call, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace to those on whose favor God rests, in whose favor God rests." And if we were here at Mass at 8 o'clock this morning, we would have heard that reading. But by the time we get to this Mass, the Mass of Christmas Day, the readings are not so much the story of the birth of Jesus as an explanation of what those stories mean for us. So I'd like to go through each of these readings briefly and talk about how these readings help us to understand this Feast of Christmas. Our first reading is from the book of the prophet Isaiah. I remember when I was a young priest and I first had to preach on this reading, I had a difficulty because I didn't think feet were beautiful. And the reading begins by telling us, as you've heard it read, how beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings glad tidings. What does this mean? Well, this passage from Isaiah takes place in human history before the invention of the telephone or the telegraph or the internet. And the way people passed messages from one place to another was through couriers. And sometimes those messages were very important because they proclaimed safety or danger. You know, if the army on the other side was victorious, the couriers would run and tell people to hide because the army was coming. But in this particular passage, what the courier is doing is sharing good news. This is the reading from the prophet Isaiah. How beautiful upon the mountain are the feet of him who brings glad tidings, announcing peace, bearing good news, announcing salvation, and saying to Zion, to the city of Jerusalem, your God is king. My dear brothers and sisters, on this Christmas day, the Church wants to announce to us loudly and clearly with great joy that Jesus, born in Nazareth, is our King, our Lord, and our God. And part of our response to that announcement of who Jesus is that we should be messengers of that glad news to others. We should be so full of the joy of Christmas that we run out to our neighbors, at least in some figurative sense, and announce to them the good news of the birth of Jesus Christ. So look at your heart. Look at the way you spend Christmas Day. Is this a day when you live and announce the good news of our Savior's birth? God has become one of us in Jesus Christ, and this is reason to rejoice because our God is our King. The second reading today is a reading from the letter to the Hebrews. And this reading is about salvation history. I think I'll wait till you pay attention again. This reading is about salvation history. Now we, in the course of our studies in elementary school and high school and college, study history, the history of Western civilization, the history of the Church, whatever. But today's second reading is a summary or explanation of the history of salvation. which is the story of God's interaction with human beings. You know, God has revealed himself to us because God loves us. And he has done that through the ages. And we should be astonished by the fact that God loves us and cares for us that much. Listen once again to these words from the letter to the Hebrews. Brothers and sisters, in times past, you know, the time of the Old Testament, God spoke in partial and various ways to our ancestors. So we stand in gratitude because God spoke to them and they shared that message with us. In these last days, in the church, the last days are the days that take place between the death and resurrection of Jesus and the end of time. And so the letter to the Hebrews tells us, in these last days, God has spoken to us through his Son, whom he made heir of all things. Jesus is the one who receives all things, all of creation, as a gift from God his Father, and through whom God created the universe. God created the universe through Jesus Christ. One of the theologians of my young priesthood, Karl Rahner, in speaking about the way God has spoken to human beings, referred to human beings, people like you and I, you have to pay close attention to this because it's a bit complicated, as the grammar of God's self-utterance. You know, grammar is the way we use language, the way we put it together. And human beings, Karl Rahner said, are the grammar of the way God speaks about himself. In order to get through to us, God speaks to us in ways that we can understand. And in Jesus Christ, God's word has become flesh so that we might see in the face of Jesus the face of God. That's extraordinary. That's what we believe that Christmas is about. Jesus reveals to us the Father. He is the face of the Father because Jesus, one of us, a human being, is also the Son of God. What a mystery that we celebrate. He goes on to say, Jesus is the refulgence of God's glory, the very imprint of God's being, who sustains all things by his mighty word. We have a wondrous gift from God in Jesus, who's born to us as our Savior. Finally, we come to today's gospel, which is a very complicated piece of theology from the beginning of the Gospel of St. John. In some ways, it's a summary of what St. John's Gospel is all about. Those of you who are older, like myself, remember that we had this reading at the end of every Mass. You remember those days? How many of you remember those days? Just a few of us. At the end of Mass, every day, we had this passage as part of our celebration. Listen once again to the Word of God from the Gospel of St. John. It summarizes what Christmas is about. In the beginning, before time, was the Word, the second person of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Another name for the Son is the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came to be through him. You know, God created the world in order to give it to Jesus. What came to be through him was life. Jesus comes to give us the gift of life. He was in the world, and the world came to be through him. But the world did not know him. And we still don't know Jesus, do we? We take his love for granted. In some sense, even Christmas can be an ordinary day where we go through the ritual without understanding the mystery. But to those who did accept him, he gave the power to be children of God. God became a man so that we, men and women, can become children of God. He came down to us so that he might raise us to the Father. And that's what the mystery of Christmas is about. You know, the word mystery is sometimes used in a way that leads us to dismiss it. You know, if we can't give an answer to a question, we say, well, it's a mystery. But that's not what the church means when the church talks about mystery. Those of you who are married, who are here with your husband or your wife, take a look at your husband or your wife for a minute. Is she a mystery? Is he a mystery? You know, after being married for 50 and 60 years, people tell me that their spouse, in some sense, is still a mystery. That's what we mean when we talk about the mysteries of our faith. Not things that we can't understand or that we don't have an explanation for, but something so profound and so personal that we never really fully grasp its meaning. Christmas is one of the mysteries of the church. We celebrate on Christmas Day not only the anniversary of the birth of Jesus, we also celebrate this mystery of our faith, the incarnation. God, the second person of the Holy Trinity, became a man. And that man's name is Jesus. And the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. The literal translation would be, he pitched his tent among us. And we saw his glory, the glory as of the Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. My dear brothers and sisters, Jesus, our Lord, is the Word of God. God speaks to us clearly in a way we can understand through him, more clearly than in any other way. And what is that Word of God that God speaks to us through Jesus? That he loves us. Last night at Midnight Mass, I mentioned that the Scriptures help us understand that God is fascinated with us. You know, we love God, or we're supposed to love God, but the real mystery of the Christian faith is that God loves us. And he loves us first, even before we love him. And I mentioned that the Latin word that from which we get the word fascinates is the word that means witchcraft. It's in some sense saying that we must have a spell on God, that we enchant him to the point that he became one of us and then gave his life for us on the cross. So the Word of God for us in this Feast of Christmas is that he loves us, not just as a group, but each one of us individually. And we celebrate that love in our celebration of Christmas. May God bring to completion the new good that he begins in us today. Merry Christmas.